Something you probably do know. Progressive can not only offer you a great price when you bundle home and auto, they offer you round-the-clock protection. Something you probably don't know, a driveway basketball hoop, including the base, weighs around 400 pounds. Something you probably do know, there's a windstorm coming. Something you probably don't know, a basketball hoop tipping over can poke a hole in a car roof like a can opener. Bundle your home and auto with Progressive and get more than a great price. Get round-the-clock protection. Something you know for the things you don't know. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers and subject to policy terms. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this fourth day of September 2022. And, the title of the message was Truth or Consequences by God. And so we're going to take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about truth and about the consequences of not telling the truth. And we start in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, he's making a point here. What he is saying here is that believing in him and believing in God are one of the same. He's saying that the way to eternal life is for believers is imminent. As we go through here, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, Jesus' words show that the way to eternal life, though unseen, is absolutely certain. His words are absolutely certain. As assured as your trust in Jesus, he has already prepared the way to eternal life. Now, the only issue that may be still be unsettled is the willingness for us to really believe that, folks. A lot of times people, this is to know this. You should be just absolutely beside yourself knowing that someday you will receive eternal life, the greatest gift, something that all the money in the world can't buy 1 minute of. And so, when he says, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, there are very, very few verses in Scripture that describe eternal life, but they are rich with promise. So, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place, and I will come again. Now, we can look forward to eternal life because he's promised it to all who really, and that comes back to what we just said, that really believe. And so he goes on to say, Thomas saying to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said unto him, if I have been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Thou believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever shall ask in thy name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, here, it's an important thing. He's making a point. Look, in Colossians, it talks about the Lord Jesus, that, and also in Acts, that Christ, that within Christ you had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when you saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you saw the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost at one time. And he's making that point here. And he says, he's making a point, how long have I been with you that you don't, that you haven't seen this? And then he says this, if you don't believe if you can't understand what I'm telling you, then believe me for the works that you've seen me do. And then, I mean, Jesus did some amazing things. He raised people from the dead. He walked on water. He cursed the fig tree and it died immediately. He did amazing things. Healed all kinds of people. And and so now those are the things that they've seen him do. What they didn't see him do was when in the beginning when he created all things, Christ was the creator. And so here, then he tells them this, these things that you've seen me do, you will do these, but even greater things. Now, he wasn't talking about things like healing the sick or raising the dead. He was talking about the greater things he was talking about, because he was speaking to the apostles, is the spreading of the gospel throughout the world. The spreading of the gospel throughout the world. Taking the salvation message to throughout the world. And so here, he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Now, there are those out there, believe it or not, that actually teach that the Holy Spirit, that the Trinity is like a family, that the Father and that the Holy Spirit's actually a female, and then you have the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. But folks, that couldn't possibly be farther from the truth. I mean, here, when he all through the Bible referred to the Holy Ghost, refers to him, okay? He, right here, the comforter that he may abide with you forever, okay? And so, He goes on, and he is the spirit of truth, whom the world receiveth not, because it seeth him not, and knoweth him not. And so there's nothing in the scripture to implicate that in any way, shape, or form. Now, he goes on, and he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live in you, you shall live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, so what is it he's saying here? Well, he's saying this, that Christ is going to guide us. He's going to keep us aware of our surroundings through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He's saying our opposition has the spirit of Antichrist here. That's why lying comes so naturally for them. They lie about God, they lie about creation, they lie about unborn babies, they lie about marriage, they lie about gender, they lie about racism, they lie about Donald Trump. Well, you've heard some of those lies, and maybe we'll revisit this, but here, again, we've seen how just recently, well, of course, the DOJ and the FBI, how they lied about the Russia hoax, how they lied about Mar-a-Lago, how they lied about their parents who go to the school boards because they don't want their children taught pornography, and how they referred and lied and called us terrorists. Obama, or Joe Bama, I should say, Biden just came out last week and made this statement that Trump supporters, people that voted for Trump, were fascists, and that we were anti-American, we were dangerous. Everything that they are, everything and worse that they accuse us of. But that's what Karl Marx taught. Always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing. And so, here, our opposition has the spirit of Antichrist. And of course, that's why lying comes so naturally for them. Excuse me. And so here, excuse me. And now, I want to go over to John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, just one verse there, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Well, let me go back to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. And so here now, what is he saying when he says this? This is exactly where we got the gospel. Now they know that because this is where the Holy Ghost. Okay, the apostles, they knew that they would have some very, very hard times ahead, and that they would have to write down all of what was to come. And so at that time, when certain things were told them or shown them, at that time they didn't really understand it. But as the Holy Spirit ministered unto them, and he told them to write it down, they wrote it down. And this is where, well, let me just read a little bit more. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and I will show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, you shall take of mine, and you shall show it unto you. So, in other words, he's showing, the Holy Spirit is showing them these things, and they wrote these things down, and that had to be a little bit tough in times because, you know, they knew what was coming their way. They knew what was coming their way. And so, and obviously they knew how that they were going to be martyred. And yet, this is where we got these Gospels, is through the working of the Holy Spirit as he worked through these men. And they wrote down these books, and today we call them the New Testament. I want to go over now to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. These things write I unto you, unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I, now this is a here, as we take a look at this here, but if I tarry long, and thou mayest know how thou ought to be, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, here, the church, the true church, is what is being referred to, is to be the ground and the pillar of the truth. And only a very small remnant today of what is really called the church is actually the true church. Folks, church leaders, as we look at this here again, when he says, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. And so here, the point is to be a church leader is a very, very heavy responsibility because the church belongs to the living God. And church leaders should never be elected, folks. What happens when a candidate, if you're going to be a pastor and a pastor goes to a congregation to candidate, then the biblical way is that that pastor would go and he would speak to the congregation. And then he would speak to the elders. And the elders would speak and they would go and they would pray. They'd take this to the Lord and pray and ask, is this the one? And then they would wait on the Lord to find out if that's the man for the congregation. Now, some places what they do, especially when it comes to deacons in a church, what they do is they hold an election. They get some candidates and they vote, for these deacons. And that is not the way the Bible teaches you to do that. The biblical way is that the people in the church will present different candidates to the pastors. But it's totally up to the pastor to decide on who his deacon's going to be. And here, so he goes on again and says here, for the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth, truth. There's one place that you're supposed to be able to go and get the truth, and that's in the house of God. And that's why pastors have a real responsibility not to preach their opinion. It's not about preaching their opinion. I remember Gloria Olstein saying, it is not about God, it is about us. Now, you couldn't possibly be farther from the truth. You know, I'd say, wait till God finds out, okay? No. No, we do not. Pastors are to use God's word and not vary from it. And they're to hold it to the truth in God's word. And that's what it says to be the pillar and the ground of truth, of truth. And so I want to go now over to Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, I think I passed it up. Let me see here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Well, actually, 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as in the world, and bringing forth fruit as it does do you also, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love for the Spirit. Now, this is one of the three prison epistles that we see here, that this was written by Paul from his prison cell in Rome. Now, Paul and Timothy were two of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. The Church of Colossae was founded by Epaphras. Now, Paul's purpose in writing was to refute the heretical teachings about Christ that had come to cause a lot of confusion among the church. He was refuting the Gnostics that were teaching that Christ was not was not the only way of salvation. And they also taught that Christ never came in the flesh. And so here he says again, we give thanks to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have in all the saints, for hope that is laid up to you in heaven. Wherefore you heard before the word of truth, the word of truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as in all the world, bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, Christ, who has declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So, wherever Paul went, you know, he preached the gospel to the Gentile audiences. Now, those Gnostics there, they had some very strange beliefs. And, you know, today, well, they actually believed that they could ascend upon a stairway towards heaven, that by abstaining from anything material, that one level at a time, you could literally reach yourself into heaven if you could do that. And again, they believed that they could abstain from touching anything. You know, wearing the least amount of clothes, eating the least amount of food, drinking the least amount of water, touching the least amount. They even tried to consume less oxygen, folks. So, thinking that this, by abstaining from all these things, they would arise up the stairway into heaven, which was absolute foolishness, because that would be salvation by works. And the Bible clearly tells us that that's not the case. Now, again, there were those out there that taught that Christ was, some thought that he was a savior, a way to salvation, but it wasn't the only way. In fact, Obama said that Christ was a savior, but he was only one of many. Oprah said that she was the source of her own salvation, that she was her own savior. Boy, is Oprah in for a very rude awakening, folks. Some of the Seventh-day Adventists, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but not God the Son. That he's not God the Son. He's not the Christ. Christ means Savior, Messiah. Some of the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, also believe that. And obviously the Satanists believe that. And there was, back about 1967, there was, from Tübingen there, the time that German, again, Enlightenment movement was moving in full speed, there was a professor of religion named Jürgen Moltmann at Tübingen University. And he teamed up with a professor of Marxism, a teacher of Marxism, and they came up with this, what is called liberation theology today. And he had written a book of the hope. And the idea was that in liberation theology, that salvation is not the way that we believe, and not the way that the Bible clearly teaches eternal life, but salvation would be when Christ would return. And by the way, he taught that Christ is the future, that Christ is the cause of future things to come, but that Christ is not aware. As he goes through the future, as he goes through time, he's not aware of what is going to happen until it happens. Now, that's kind of a very strange teaching, folks. And so, here, Ernest Bloch and Jürgen Moltmann came up and with that very, very strange teachings, and we call it today the liberation theology, or it's also known as the social gospel, the social gospel. And so here now, Paul, if in this chapter you find out that Paul refutes the heretical teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it caused a whole lot of confusion. See, one of the things they taught was this, that since the flesh is sinful, that the flesh, and in our flesh, is sin dwells within our flesh, which, well, that's true. But they said, since sin dwells in the flesh, Christ could not have come in a human body. He could not have come in the flesh, which the Bible clearly states, as we've already read here tonight, that Christ appeared in the flesh. And so, if we go over, in fact, over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy 2, yeah. I'll find it here in a minute, folks. Got it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He writes, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in all the godliness and honesty. Now, hear what he's telling you. We are to pray for each other, and we're to also pray for those in authority accordingly. We're to pray accordingly. And here often what has happened, one of the ways that our Lord was so dishonored was from prissy preachers that they would take passages like this and they would twist them to try to use them to justify not having the courage to stand against corruption and tyranny. To stand against tyranny. And so, here, as we see this, he goes on to say, and in fact, see, sometimes, you know, we need to pray for each other, but sometimes we need to pray that there are many wicked people, very, very wicked people, that if they don't repent, that the Lord would remove those people, would remove them before they can harm and hurt any more innocent people. He goes on to say, "For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom to all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." And so here, Paul again has given his credentials here. He's done that before in 1 Corinthians 15, 7 through 11, he gives his credentials. And so the point that they're making here is that although God is all-powerful and all-knowing, God has chosen us, if you will, to let us help him change the world through our prayers. Now, Paul urges us to pray for each other and for our leaders with earnest prayer. We'll have very powerful results. Paul's command to pray for kings was remarkable at that time, considering that Nero, the emperor, Nero at this time, and this was he was a horrible emperor, a wicked, wicked antichrist. But Paul was referring to when you pray for him, pray accordingly. You pray for God will bless the righteous and that he would remove the wicked. I go on to say, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works." And so here to understand these verses, Paul must understand a situation which Paul and Timothy worked in. In fact, if you remember back in first century Jewish culture, women were not allowed, they weren't allowed to study the Word of God, okay? They could be taught that. And when Paul said that women should learn quietly and humbly, he was telling them, no, they were supposed to learn. They were supposed to learn, and they were supposed to study, but they were not to try to become pastors or teachers in the church. And that holds today. Women are not to be ordained ministers. Women are not to pastor churches. That holds to today. And I know that in the atmosphere we lived in with the feminism and that, a lot of women don't want to hear this. That's an interesting thing, too. He goes and he says, "In like manner, also let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, sobriety, and not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Now, in other words, he's telling you that, you know, women are not to go to church to show off, look, I can afford. Look at these diamond rings on my hand. You see what that, you know, that tells you. Look at my necklace that I'm wearing here. Or look at this bracelet. Or maybe have one of those, was it Gucci or Gucci or whatever, handbags that cost a fortune. They're not to do that. They're not to come to church and present themselves in that way. They're to be modest. In other words, also, where it talks about with modest apparel. Now, it's one of the things that, you know, in the past, when you have a new believer comes, if that new believer, we have a young girl that comes into church, and this has happened in the times past, and here, and they may be wearing a mini skirt, a very short skirt, or maybe have a low cut blouse or sweater or whatever, where they show cleavage. Well, when this has happened on a number of occasions, one of the very first things will happen is, soon as that service is over, one of the ladies will come up, one or more will come up to me and say, you need to talk to that young girl. And I will tell them, no, I don't. You need to talk to that young girl and explain to her why this is not the proper way to dress. Because a pastor puts himself in a lot of peril nowadays. If you get accused of sexual immorality, okay, that's all you have to. You're guilty until you can prove your innocence. Especially if you're a pastor out there today, because boy, the fake news media—they drool. They just drool at the thought of being able to bring a pastor down, especially if it's an actual true Bible-believing, God-fearing pastor. And so here, when he's talking about women dress it in a way which is not that way. Now, what we need to do, if that happens the first time, they're told. If they do it a second time, then they get another warning, and after that, if they continue, they get disfellowshipped with, okay? Now here, he goes on to say, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was not what was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. In other words, what we see all through Scripture there, where we see that men are attacked in the area of pride. That's where the enemy likes to hit men. That's their weak spot. Their Achilles heel is their pride. And it's normal. From the time we're little boys, we're competitive. I can run faster than you. I can throw a ball faster, farther than you. We're competitive. And so that's where, you know, and boy, I can tell you, you know, when the enemy knows how to get at your pride, just to hit you in something that you pride yourself in, being able, being strong, being fast or whatever, and he hits you in that area and gets you to boast about it. But with the women, it's been discernment. It's always been discernment. And we see from the very beginning that when the men failed to do what they were supposed to do, every single time that a man failed to do what he was supposed to do, it ended up a disaster. Like starting in the garden with Adam. Adam had the full authority in that garden. He had full authority. He could have taken the head off the serpent in that garden. That was his dominion. God had given him. But what happened? You don't think Satan knew that? Satan knew that. Satan was watching, and Satan was looking for Adam's weak spot. And remember, at that time, Eve was a prototype. She was the most beautiful woman. I mean, she had to be gorgeous. Well, That was Adam's weakness. So he had one or two options. Adam had one or two options, and that was being listening to God and obeying God. Had he done that, when Satan had conned Eve, Adam could have taken the serpent's head off, and he could have told Eve, get back to the kitchen. But Adam failed because he listened to his wife. And by listening to her and not doing what he, and not listening to God, well, because of that, sin entered into the world. Sin entered in, okay? And then we saw later on, we saw Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham should not have listened to Sarah. He should have not. He knew better than to take Hagar. He knew better. He knew better than to take Hagar. But he listened to his wife. And then he took Hagar. And then she was angry at him for listening to her. And he took Hagar. And to this very day, we end up, because eventually, what happened? Eventually, that turned into what we see there. Because that was actually right where Saudi Arabia is at. That was actually, we see, well, she came, Hagar came out of Egypt. And Abraham eventually sent her back to Egypt. But to this day, Ishmael settled there in Saudi, where we call Saudi Arabia today. And what happened? Well, this is where today we have the Nation of Islam, which is a direct conflict with Christianity, with the Christians and the Jews. And so here, when he goes on to say to her, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness. And so here, as the Apostle Paul is talking about, he doesn't mean that by having a baby, by delivering a baby, that she's going to have eternal life. That's not what that word there means. It means that the best ministry, the greatest thing ministry a woman can have is to be a good wife and a good mother and raise her children in the admonition of the Lord. That is what God meant for the women, to be good wives, godly women, godly, and to raise children and nurture their children in the admonition of the Lord. And then I want to go over to 1 John chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we read this. Well, actually, I think we're going to go to, 1 through 6. Now here, the question is, is what you are hearing out there in line with the Word of God? Paul is again, or John here is dealing with those that were Gnostic, and the Gnostics again believed, as we were saying, that Christ was a spirit that appeared to be in the flesh, but he was really not in the flesh, that there was no flesh and blood. Well, I'm going to tell you, there was plenty of blood when he hung up on that cross. There was plenty of blood shed when he was beaten. And that was real flesh that was torn apart by the whips of those wicked men. And so, again, going back to what the Gnostics taught, that he only appeared. He only appeared to be in the flesh, but he was really a spirit because he couldn't have been in the flesh because only sin dwelt in the flesh. And so here, when they said that the Christ, and by the way, all of those that refer, that don't believe that Jesus is God the Son. Those that they call, they say they believe that he's the Son of God, but not God the Son. Therefore, the word Christ, that means Messiah. That means deliverer, okay? And so here we read, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits on whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He is not of God, heareth us not. Hereby know we are the spirit of truth, and we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. So the Antichrist, again, is going to be someone who epitomizes all that is evil. We have many of those Antichrists out there today. Now, Obama was an Antichrist. Joe Obama is an Antichrist out there. He goes on to say here, and what he's saying is this, simply, it's very, very easy to be frightened by the wickedness and that we see all around us, to be overwhelmed by the problems out there today. Evil is obviously much stronger than we are, but John assures us that God is stronger yet. He will conquer all evil. And how does he do that? Well, he says that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. I had often, as a young pastor, I'd often wondered how I was going to respond if I ever ran into someone who was demonically possessed. And then, boom, one day it happened, and then it happened again and again, where I was put in a position that I was going up against demonically possessed people. And when that time came, the Lord had prepared it for me. I can honestly say I never had not a moment, not one moment of any fear at all. I knew exactly what to do, and it was by being guided by the Holy Spirit. And because he that was in me is greater than he was in the world, we were able to cast out the demons, not by my power, but by the power of God. We were able to cast out these demons. And so, if I want to go over to 1 John chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 13. Now here, we have to be very, very, very careful, discerning that we have so many slick and false teachers because today, because of biblical literacy, so many are so easily deceived by false teachers and false politicians and false and fake people in the media. And of course, you see the social gospel hacks all over the place. And of course, they're paraded out. Oh boy, the media, the fake news media, loves to parade out these apostate preachers that will condone, that will embrace everything that God calls a sin, whether it's abortion, whether it's sodomy. But the fake media loves to trot them out and see, there you go. And hopefully they will deceive some babes in the Lord or some simple-minded people who will fall for that. I, the elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, yet, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father in truth and love. Okay, here, the elder is John, and one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and of course he's the writer of this gospel, the three epistles in the book of Revelation. The truth is the truth. The truth is, folks, the truth. And here we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is totally opposed to the lies of the false teachers. We go on to say, walk after the commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We just talked about so many of those there. This is a deceiver, an antichrist. Look at yourselves that we look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there be any other, or if there come any other unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not, and let him in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that abideth in him, Godspeed is a partaker of evil deeds. In other words, if you abideth with him, or you biddeth him good Godspeed, then you're a partaker of his evil deeds. Then he says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and pen and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And so here, the false teachers were teaching again that the spirit was good, but the flesh was bad. So Jesus could not have possibly come in the flesh because he was good. And, so to babes in the Lord, just to babes in Christ, this may have sounded, reasonable to them, so that because they were not mature in the faith. John instructed believers not to give hospitality to false teachers. And again, I know some people, and I've seen them, that they come across situations like this, and they end up giving a false teacher a platform, even they know that they shouldn't do it, because by their nature, they didn't want to offend. They didn't want to be offensive. Folks, listen, when it comes to these false teachers, you don't give them. Let me read that again. If there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil. So you've got a situation. You're either going to offend him or you're going to offend God. If you don't do what the Lord tells you, then you offend God. Now, we mentioned before, people out there in this antichrist system we have today. We talked about the DOJ and the FBI, how they lied about this Russia thing. We saw how Joe Biden is lying about us, about those people that supported Donald Trump. He calls us fascists, and I saw Bill Barr lied about the election. He lied. He knew that that there was overwhelming election fraud, and he lied about it. He didn't prosecute it. All of the fake media lied about the election fraud. All of them out there. They knew that they said, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? When evidence was given to them, they wouldn't look at it. And now you had 2,000 mules. All the evidence, there it is, laid out for you in a, and they didn't want to talk about it. And so they lied. They flat out lied. Nancy Pelosi. She lied when she stood right next to two sodomites, stark naked outside in the middle of the street, when she stood right next to those two sodomites that were sodomizing each other right in front of her, she says that Jesus will be pleased with the way that you two are showing love for each other. That's a wicked woman. That's an unclean woman to make a statement, folks. And I watched her do that. And then here, George Soros says he's God. He says he's God. But George Soros is about to find out that he's not a God. He's about to find out, he's about to face a torment that if he had a million times more money than he had, he couldn't buy 1 minute out of hell. Fauci lied about the vax. He lied and he lied and he lied and he lied and he lied again. Here, the Democrats lie in the fake news media when they'd say that we have 86 different genders out there. Joyce Myers lied when she said that she was sinless. And so here, I want to go over to and finish in Revelation chapter 21. And this is the consequences here of that lie, starting with verse 5 through 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, we're at the end of the program again, like we do every night at this time. And it comes down to it. And the reason we always wait, and we want the last thing that you hear to be that you've got an option. If you have not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in serious trouble right now. You don't know how what can happen any time. But the good news is that you don't have to. You don't have to. There's a way out, and no one has to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Christ nailed your sins to the cross. He died. If you will call upon him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, then you can avoid an eternity of torment. Now that's the greatest news. And folks, only the Word of God is the most authoritative source of information that exists. God's Word. The Lord Jesus said, Heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass. They're going to stand. They have. For millenniums, they have stood their ground. And the opposition has done everything they could to try to destroy the Word of God, but they're not going to. And so, well, you were at 30? Okay, there you go. Now it's 20. All right, folks, we're out of time for tonight. So when we get to this point every night, we always say this. Good night. God bless. And always, 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 always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.